WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin'.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Bit music for the win. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm the producer, Sir Rockin', joined as always by the intern, Kane Kittens.
Wow. Just wow. All right, it's going to be one of those nights. Let's go.
I don't know. And as always, the one and only Tim Stein.
Hi, can you hear me this time?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Unfortunately, yes.
All right, so the new hookup with Verizon's working. Hey, everybody, good evening. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, streaming live, actually directly on Twitch TV, twitch.tv/WTR Live. If you're listening anywhere else, log in, come on over, join the chat room. Hello to everybody in chat. I see Tim Chat. Yeah, that's me, Tim Chat. Tim Chat is there, and he's our little cheerleader. Make sure that everybody gets active. If you're in the chat room, you want to say anything to us, don't worry. We interact with you when we see what you post. So there's that.
Chat, you watch live on twitch.tv/WTLive and you have channel points. You can do things now on streams. So have at it. So you can redeem your channel points for sound. So have at it.
You're letting chat make noises on our channel.
Cold beer after a hard day's work. Nothing like it.
Just like that.
Wow. Well, there's not much like a cold beer after a hard day's work, I suppose.
Figuring that would work. It work for you. That works for the Genshin stuff we've been doing. I mean, it ties all together.
So what were you doing on the stream before we went live?
I wasn't doing anything on the stream. I was setting up that earlier today.
Oh, I see.
Genshin?
Yeah, you know that game that somebody plays? Like, I think her name's Lindsay. You may have heard of her before. She hosts the Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. And has her YouTube channel and a Twitch channel. Just search for Lynn's Ward. You know that
she's going to start becoming Cypher with all the channels she has.
I know. Tim doesn't know who Cypher is, so it doesn't matter. You know that?
Wait a minute. Whoa. I remember him from The Matrix.
Good.
Wrong Cypher.
This is Cypher PK. You know that's the stream.
Damn you, Cypher!
You know that's the stream where she drops a character and they go splat?
Where she kills people repeatedly.
Yeah, that one. The one she kills people repeatedly just by jumping off of mountains. Yep, that one.
Wait a minute. She kills people repeatedly?
It's a thing, Tim.
How do you kill people repeatedly if, like, you kill them once? Aren't they just, like, permanently dead?
No, no, it's the character you're playing with. She accidentally drops them and they die. But they respawn. It's fine. Everything is fine.
That's really weird. But I got a question for you, though. Yes. Who'd win in a fight? Darth Vader or Gandalf?
Being yelled at, by the way.
I take it you're being text yelled at.
I'm guessing Vader.
You would think Vader? What about you, Ruck? Oh, he must still be getting yelled at. Why do you think Vader?
Because he's part cyborg and a badass and has the Force.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go with Gandalf. You shall not pass. He's got, like, Megamoss that'll turn into giant, huge freaking eagles and stuff like that. He's got magic, dude. Vader's got the Force, but Gandalf's got magic.
Now, here's a very important thing. Are we talking Gandalf the White or Gandalf the Gray? Because that's very different.
I would have to go Gandalf the White.
I was gonna say, if it's gray, then no, he just wants to get high.
What is it they smoke? What do they call that? Stinkweed or whatever?
No, stinkweed, I think, is what most people get on the corner.
Yeah.
But pipeweed.
Pipeweed? Okay,
yes.
There you go.
He smokes pipeweed from the Hobbits.
Did you, like, look that up really quickly?
Yes, I did. That's why I'm the intern.
Google's your friend.
Okay, your friend.
I didn't tell you to Google your friend. I said Google is your friend.
Oh, well, that makes
What comes up when you Google friend?
When it's your friend, you get a Wikipedia link for Our Friend, which is a 2019 American biographical film.
Okay.
You also get the IMDb link. You get the Rotten Tomatoes link.
Cool. Yeah. Maybe you should Google 8-bit Bret Hart entrance music.
We already heard that.
I know. We heard that.
I don't need to hear it again.
Well, you don't necessarily have to hear it because it would come up with a bunch of shit describing it and telling you where it came from and who wrote it and where it originally debuted and stuff.
I think I know where Rock gets his 8-bit music, so.
He still has a Nintendo, I think.
You should just Google is your friend. Just saying.
Yeah, intern. Google is your friend.
Google is your best friend.
Oh, you're my best friend that I ever had. Been with you such a long time. You're my sunshine.
Anyway.
I want you to know feelings are true. Really. Oh, I'm sorry. I got confused there, and I was immersing myself in a song by Queen.
The Queen? Is she over COVID yet?
Not the Queen, the group Queen, the rock and roll music group Queen, fronted by Freddie Mercury, Farrakh Balsara, or Farrakh Balsara. A lot of people don't know that.
Tim turned slightly into a robot there, but that's okay.
And we made it through.
How did I turn into a robot?
Your internet went to a robot connection for half a second, but it's good. We're good. We're doing fine.
Yep, we're good. We're fine. Everything's good.
That's really weird. And ironically, I just watched RoboCop and RoboCop 2, literally finished up about an hour before we went live. So me sounding like a robot, that's interesting. Come along quietly or there will be trouble, you know. Whatever. Anyway, we're not here to talk about this shit. We're here to talk about wrestling.
Yeah, we got stuff to talk about because stuff has happened or supposedly it's going to happen, reportedly going to happen. Stuff's been happening in wrestling.
Hi, everybody. Tell everybody to come and tune in and listen that aren't listening because this is important shit.
It is because Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes have left All Elite Wrestling. After being part of the group, the founding group of the promotion, rumor and speculation now teases on Monday Night Raw. Now appears Cody Rhodes is headed back to WWE. First, what is your reaction to Cody actually leaving AEW?
My reaction to that is somebody had to be the first wrestler to leave AEW.
Major.
That was my first reaction.
Major name. Because there's been minor people.
Well, yeah, no, but like who's left AEW that we know about? You know, yeah, Cody Rhodes. Who else? I don't know exactly.
I mean, me and Brett know some people, but yeah, beyond that, yeah.
Yeah, me and Brett know some people
because we follow. Anyway, so
because we're elite, Tim.
No.
Yes, we are.
No, but there's something all right. But
is it a big deal he left?
That just ain't it. Is it a big deal they left? Well, you stop and you think about it. What did Cody do immediately upon leaving WWE.
He made a list.
Yes.
And he checked it twice, right?
And he posted it online for everyone to see all the indie shit he wanted to do.
There you go. Cody was very, very instrumental in AEW first getting off the ground.
At least we're led to believe that.
What's that?
At least we're led to believe that.
We're led to believe that. Yeah. So following that, if that's true, it's a bit of a big deal that he left, and it's a bit of a bigger deal that he's going back to WWE. It's a big deal that he's going to be going back to WWE to begin with. He didn't exactly leave on bad terms with the company, but when he left, he was pretty fed up with them at the time. So drawing him back, it must be a hell of a sweetheart deal.
You know what, though? If screw it, I'm just going to say what the internet says. You know what, Tim? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it's all a work going back to AEW. He's forming this elite, you know, heel stable with all these guys that aren't being used now. It's going to be an invasion thing. It's WCW, WWE Invasion 2022.
Okay, Mark.
That's if you want to believe the delusional side of the internet.
Which I don't.
That's what they're saying.
No, and you have to add on it. He's left AEW. He's, you know, this is a whole big work so we can get back in the AEW world title picture because, you know, before he couldn't when he was originally there because he lost the match. Now that he's left, he can come back and now win the title.
I believe the exact words he said was, I will never challenge for the world title he lost.
But this is what they're saying.
I'm just poking a hole in that logic because what he actually said was, if I lose, I will never challenge. It wasn't, as long as I'm here, I will not challenge. It's, I will never challenge.
Well, as far as
the world title.
Yeah, but as far as your other one goes, as long as I'm here, if he leaves and goes back, then that's a return. And doesn't count as long as I'm here.
We know this. I'm
just pointing out the obvious that slaps people in the face because they don't realize it.
But the one
and argue against it stupidly.
The one thing I don't understand in the logic behind Cody Rhodes is coming is he never left AEW. It's all a work. It's all of that. If he did not leave AEW and he entered into contract talks with the WWE, that is very sticky legal ground because it's a contracted worker having legitimate conversations with another company.
No. He was out of contract when he was probably talking to WWE. Because his contract ran out at the end of the year, remember that.
Okay, then my whole thing is, if that's the case, if he's out of contract with all of this, you're meaning to tell me that either A, WWE is completely working with them, knowing that Cody would still be heading back, or B, that if this was the quote-unquote greatest work of all time, this would fuck over everybody in the industry ever because it would become the new standard. It would become the new thing of, okay, if someone gets released, especially from AEW, fuck it, we're not touching them. We're not going to attempt to contract them. We're not going to attempt to sign them. And anyone that leaves AEW is going to be shit out of luck because other companies don't want to have the egg on their face as well. If this was a work.
Oh, if it worked, yeah.
If it's all of a sudden Cody comes back and it's like, ha ha, look, he pulled the, you know, wool over WWE's eyes, then every contracted talent in AEW better watch it the next time their contract comes up and they think I can get another deal somewhere because no one would want to touch them thinking, well, I don't want to get screwed.
Not only that, you talked earlier about legal implications. If this would be an AEW work, WWE has a serious legal ground to go after AEW and fuck them up in the courts, and that would happen.
But it's not a work. This is all true. He's gone.
So that being said, I just wanted to put that out there.
I know.
For the fringe of wrestling Twitter and elsewhere, the reaction to Cody leaving, mm-hmm. anyone that wants to tell you it's less than a big deal is fooling themselves. This is an EVP. As much as he may have lost, what the?
Tim, we can hear your TV.
Can you hear my TV? I don't know. I'm not even paying attention to the fact that it's on. I didn't even notice it.
That's her conversation. But no, anyone that wants to say this is less than a big deal for Cody leaving is mistaken, because it means an EVP, someone who was the face of your company not less than a year ago, has up and left the company. And the fact that Tony Khan let him go, because Tony had the ability to extend him by a year, I believe.
What are the chances are that there was a falling out between him and Tony Khan? Big time.
Oh, there has been a falling out.
Yeah. I brought that up specifically, Rock. You know that.
Mm-hmm. Cody lost power, and that hurt him more than anything, I think.
Money of an ego bruise.
Money and power came into play.
Well, and more than anything, what's Cody about? Legacy, not the faction. But
I mean, he was all about it.
I know. But it's that idea of, like, you know, his daddy, Dusty, and Dusty was always, you know, not just the performer, but the booker and behind the scenes and instrumental and all of these things. And Cody wanted that so bad. That's what AEW was for him. The chance to be Dusty again and to, you know, carry that Rhodes name, because there's more than one wrestling royal family. And then in the span of 2 years, he had that all stripped away and he was just a wrestler. And I think that bruised his ego more than anything else that could have happened.
So with him leaving, he supposedly will be back in WWE. Where does he fit?
When he first comes back, Vince is going to push his ass, because this is the first big get from AEW. And you can use it as a statement to other people in AEW, because guess what? We'll talk about this later. Their roster is getting really bloated right now. And a lot of people who were seeing some TV time aren't seeing TV, and maybe not even appearing on, you know, the YouTube stuff anymore. So if Vince can push Cody, put him in a decent spot, and be like, hey, look, if you want to make some money and get yourself, you know, noticed, come on over.
Yeah, well, AEW was falling into the trap that WCW did back then. WWF at the time was making these guys household names and superstars, and then they would go over to WCW for a big paycheck once whatever contract they were on had expired. And of course, back then there was no 90-day non-compete shit. But what that wound up doing was push their I don't want to say local homegrown, that's not exactly correct, but the that group, their original mainstays, I guess, that wound up pushing them further and further and further into the background. It's one of the reasons why we saw the Dirty Rascals in WWF.
Who?
Well, even then, that wasn't their homegrown talent. Those were guys that they got from ECW.
Wait, hold on. Who'd you say, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
The Dirty Who?
The Rascals. Yeah.
The Rascals? The Radicals. Radicals.
Yes. The Dirty, that's what I said, Dirty Radicals.
You said Rascals.
The Little Rascals.
There you go.
But yeah, those guys were all like mid-card talent in WCW, except for one guy who was starting to get a push towards the top, and they saw greener pastures, came on over, and started to make names for themselves in WWE/F.
And another name, they came over on his own because he was fed up with the bullshit going on in WCW, Chris Jericho.
What has he ever done?
He won the IWGP Intercontinental title.
Yep, biggest achievement.
So if AEW is not careful, they're going to wind up going down the same path as WCW. Next thing you know, the inmates will be running the asylum again. And that was a major contributing factor to WCW dying.
Well, hey, if they're not careful, they're essentially turning into TNA. We're just going to take everyone that WWE lets go and, oh my God, Buddy Matthews is here in Daly's place.
Yeah, the one thing about that is AEW has access to a shit ton more funds. And their writing as of right now to this point is better than TNA's wound up being during that period.
Yeah, there's just one big problem. They have very limited time,
which really buggers up this bloated roster. And I can see WWE having their eye on a lot of AEW talent that's been shoved into the background because all of these released WWE stars have been showing up on AEW and taking that limited time away.
And we're about to get to about release WWE superstars here in a second, but I just want to throw this out there because I talked about this, either did it on Monday or Thursday. You know the best place to debut Cody at is?
I know where you're going.
March 14th, Monday Night Raw, Jacksonville, Florida.
Right in the fucking backyard.
Do it in Tony's backyard.
And the thing is, and we've talked about this, you don't have him say a word about the other company. He doesn't need to reference it. Just being there alone is enough.
See, that's the, in my opinion, that's a big screw up by AEW, having all of these references to WWE and running them down. And like in the business world, you first off, you never talk about your competition. And secondly, no matter what you do, you don't run them down because it makes you look bad and inferior.
Also, option number two would be the week after in Chicago. Just another rubbing it in point. So Cesaro is no longer with WWE. Just like Cody's, his contract expired.
Very quietly expired, mind you.
They went through negotiations. He did not like what they offered. He's now a free agent. He could come back. It's, you know, it's all up in the air. But as of now, he's a free agent and could go anywhere he chooses.
And, of course, you got the AEW fanboys and fangirls screaming, "Oh, sign him! Give him the title! Give him the run he deserves!"
He had a great run in WWE. Just
there was
let
nothing wrong with his run in WWE.
Not everyone's the main event.
The one thing that I would have appreciated was to see him carry the WWE title or the world title, universal title, at least, you know, for a little bit.
But sometimes that's not in the cards.
This is true.
But there's a couple of notable people who have never held the world title that still had pretty damn amazing careers.
Yeah. So
this is true.
So begs the question, what is next for Cesaro? Is he, you think he's going to go to AEW? I mean, if it was up to Eddie Kingston, he wouldn't.
Why would he not go to Japan?
I mean, he could. Go to Japan. He could.
I don't think he's going to AEW. I think that he's going to be looking at New Japan.
Either that, or honestly, you know what could work for Cesaro? Take a little bit of time off. Do what you know, if you want to hit a couple of indies, go for it. If you want to just rest your body, go for it. Because I have a feeling if he sits there, like Rock said, he could sign with WWE again very easily because he left on good terms. He didn't, you know, burn a bridge. The contract expired. It was just the negotiation didn't work out. And if he wants to come back, wait a couple months, see what the landscape is like. You could earn more money. That's the thing with today's environment.
Maybe.
It's possible. But Brent,
yep.
There's a big outcry. AEW needs to sign everybody. Cesaro, Gargano, Hardy, Swerve. You name it. Where do these guys fit in within their current levels? Who will get squeezed out if they were signed?
Gee, Rock, those words sound very, very familiar.
I don't know. I don't know. They're all original words. I did not copy and paste it from DM.
It's almost like I DM'd Rock as soon as I saw Cesaro leave, and everyone was like, "Oh my God, sign Cesaro," and I just went on a mini rant with that. No, this has become the AEW battle cry since their company first was created and you started to see some of the WWE releases is, "Oh my God, AEW needs to sign dot, dot, dot. Oh my God, so-and-so needs to be All Elite. I can't wait until Tony posts the graphic." We have reached the point, and Jobber and I used to play a game every Saturday night after CB Radio where if there was a release or if there's a free agent talent, we're like, okay, if they sign so-and-so, whose spot are they taking? And we would work through this. Well, the roster has bloated even beyond what we thought it was going to. They only have 3 hours of TV because, let's be honest, if you're on Dark, that doesn't mean shit. Because Dark is basically Superstars. It's the show where you're facing jobbers and no one is watching. Ta-da!
Like WWE's Velocity.
Yeah, because, you know, it's so great that Tony Nese is in AEW. And he's fighting on Dark Elevation on Monday nights on YouTube that no one fucking watches. It's great that he's getting that paycheck. But it's this idea that, like, oh, Johnny Gargano is going to sign with AEW. Okay, great. Now you're getting more former NXT talent in there. Where's Miro? You know, that first really big guy that signed with AEW, and you were all excited to see him perform, and he had a run with the TNT title, and now he's doing exactly what he did in WWE. He can't get on TV at all. There's no injury with him, supposedly. There's no issue keeping him from being on. It's just Tony and creative probably looking at him going, we don't really have anything for you. You know, where's Kip Sabian, one of those young guys who you were so excited to see, and he was, you know, all doing the high-flying flippy shit that you love so much. Where's he? Oh, he's sitting in the crowd with a box on his head that no one's acknowledging, and he can't get on TV.
And
he can't get used.
Brent's not lying about that. That is actually what they're doing with his gimmick.
He's standing in the crowd with a bag/box on his head. That's it. Here's another example. Someone who they just picked up a one-year option on. Brian Cage. The guy who you brought in during a, you know, the casino battle royale ladder match, gave him a world title shot within, you know, his first month in the company, and now he has to work indies because he can't get on AEW TV. And yet everyone was so excited that Brian Cage was in the company. This is, when you see all this stuff with AEW, it's the kid who gets a shiny new toy. He thinks it's, you know, they think it's great. They unwrap it. Oh, look, it's so cool. They use it for about 2 months, and then it ends up in the toy box, and they completely forget about it. And yet they want all these people signed now. You know, Gargano, Cesaro, Hardy, Jeff Hardy to get the Hardy Boys back together, because that's just what we need. 40 and 50-year-olds tag teaming to run at the titles, because, and one of them with, you know, issues that they deal with. The other one that has weight issues, which he can't seem to get over either. And then also, oh, don't forget, Samoa Joe is sitting out there too, that, you know, he can totally come in here and be just like he was in Ring of Honor and Impact.
Yeah, let's sign all these former WWE guys and make us WWE too.
And yet people like Jake Hager, who was your big, your absolute first big reveal on Dynamite, remember when they formed the Inner Circle, is off doing his MMA thing and appears once in a blue moon. You know, Peter Avalon, who people tried to get behind with the librarian gimmick, and they use his talent because he has, you know, resources for, you know, local independent guys to fill out Dark, but he can't hit TV.
Jay Lethal.
Exactly. There we go. Former world champion of Ring of Honor. The guy who quote unquote resurrected his career in Ring of Honor. And he's fighting on Rampage for not even a real title. It's not something the company even recognizes. And he gets thrown into a half-baked feud with someone else because you're going to release the guy who was in that feud because he dared challenge Tony about diversity. It's just, people are delusional in the fact of, like, they think Tony has this unlimited purse string and that somehow he's going to end up with like 8 hours of television on Turner Network to show all of this amazing talent. They're not going to get another hour until probably the next contract comes along. And that's when he's going to have to try and get more money to pay for all these guys he has. Because, no offense, in order to keep people like, you know, Paige, Cole, Omega, Punk, Brian, Keith Lee, you know, all those guys that they threw money at, the next time their contract comes up, I don't think they're going to take a discount. If anything, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan can go, hey, we deserve a little more because look at, we pop you guys. Anytime our name is mentioned, those ratings shoot up. Just saying.
You feel better now?
No, because as soon as there's another release, or as soon as, you know, there's the possibility of someone going to AEW, those fucking internet trolls are going to be out there again going, ha-ha, I can't wait to see this 14-person stable come through here.
But we're going to move on.
Okay.
To what could be considered the biggest story of the year. It's being reported that Stone Cold Steve Austin will possibly maybe returning to the ring at WrestleMania 38 to face Dallas's favorite son, Kevin Owens.
Wow.
They have been doing a lot of setup. Kevin Owens taking shots at Texas on almost every interview that he does on TV.
And on Twitter.
In the backstage.
And a lot on Twitter.
Yeah, he's from Quebec.
And also on Twitter. Yeah, he's from Maryvale, Quebec, Canada.
So
still accounting for taste.
So are we surprised Steve Austin's finally getting back in the ring?
Yes and no.
My surprise is that if this were a one-off, the only surprise I would have is that it will have taken as long as it did. I did expect to see him do a one-off match several years ago.
I think many
as a matter of fact, at one point in time, they were headed towards her, but it fell through. It was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Steve Austin, I would say yes and no.
Okay. Explain.
Am I surprised? Yes, because it's Steve Austin with a history of neck and knee issues who had the write-off with The Rock, and it's like, yes, he made those spot appearances. He could still drop a stunner, but actually wrestle a match, I think we all kind of were like, not really. Like his body kind of broke down a little while ago. This is why I'm not surprised, though. Everyone else who we thought was done has gotten clear. Daniel Bryan opened that quote-unquote forbidden door, and people just keep walking through it.
That has got to be the internet's most favorite catchphrase.
Oh, I know. That's why I used it.
Of the first 2 months of 2022. It's the forbidden door.
It's been for about a year and a half. But anyway.
But yeah, like, Bryan walked through it after we thought his career was done. And yet he's still performing now. And it's great to see that he's able to perform and perform safely. You know, Edge and Christian, both of them, we thought they were done with, you know, various neck and concussion issues. They got cleared. They're still performing. Well, at least one of them is. The other, kind of sparingly. We now have Corey Graves has come out and said he's been cleared to return. So again, we've now learned that this idea of, you know, these people that have had career essentially threatening or ending injuries are able to come back. So in that sense, it's that you look at Austin, who broke his damn neck in a match with Owen. Yeah, it's surprising, but at the same time, it's 2021-22 all over again. Screw it. Of course he's back.
So if you follow, like, all the steps that it could take to get here, it's interesting how you can piece it all together that Steve Austin's coming back. Because back in the summer, High Spots got him a wrestling ring for his, you know, home or something. Why would a retired person for 19 years need a wrestling ring?
God, it was Edge. If he works with FTR, then it's absolutely he's coming back.
But it's like, why would he need a wrestling ring after all these years?
He was just feeling nostalgic. You know, he wanted to ride his four-wheeler around the property and then just take it around the ring like he used to. It's just, you know, the old days.
So, is this one and done?
If he got a wrestling ring back in the summertime, I don't think this is one and done. It could be like super massive mega part-time, even more sparingly used than Goldberg has been. Or, as we like to call them, contractual obligations.
Two times a year.
Hopefully the contract has expired.
He can go to Tony's Forbidden Door.
I want to see him show up there so people go, ah, shit.
Okay, so if it's not one and done, to steal a phrase from contractual obligations, who's next?
Well, okay, so 38, we're predicting Kevin, because, you know, Stunner, the guy he bestowed the move to. That's fine, because also, Kevin has that same kind of attitude and everything that they've had, or that Austin has exhibited. God, I want to say something like AJ would be a fun match.
Well, certain thing about it, like, you know, we've done this before with different wrestlers, dream matches, you know, like one of our dream matches would have been Kurt Angle and Bret Hart. That would have been something I would have been more than happy to pay money to see had it been available to take place. Had it been possible, what match could come along and can be considered that kind of match? Because let's face it, Kevin Owens versus Steve Austin is—I love both of these guys, but I don't consider the two of them going up against each other a dream match.
But who's the dream?
Do you want to see him go up against Seth Rollins?
Could be fun.
I'm just picturing Seth selling the shit out of that stunner.
Yeah, is Seth Rollins pulling a Shawn Michaels against Hulk Hogan.
Or pulling a Rock against Steve Austin. Just hit that stunner and he backflips and goes over the top rope.
Funny that you mention that, because I just saw that clip yesterday. Yeah, that. Oh yeah, I remember that.
Actually, you know what would be a fun match, and I'm sure they faced off. Although he may have, yeah, I'm sure they must have faced off at some point. But just with the way that both of them act, and just the way that both their moves can, I don't know, come out of nowhere. Him and Orton, you have the Rattlesnake and the Viper.
That would be another match that you could put together, and people would pay money for.
Especially because the whole thing about Randy is being very cerebral, and Steve would just sit there and not trust the shit out of him and kick his ass any opportunity he could.
Not only that, you got the RKO versus the Stunner.
Yeah.
It's essentially the same move, more or less. You got Stone Cold coming back for a WrestleMania match. It's the Stunner 1 versus Stunner 2. You know, Stunner versus Son of Stunner, if you will.
How about this one? Does Stone Cold Steve Austin acknowledge him?
I was thinking about that. And I'm just trying, I've been trying, like, since we brought this topic up, I've been trying to picture a scenario where that turns into a match.
Easy. Roman's sitting there basically running down everyone. He's acknowledged me, and Austin just walks simply right out and puts the bird right in his face. And it's like, he basically, Roman's going to have to beat the respect out of Austin if he wants it. The man who doesn't tap out. And we learned that.
A match between the two of them would be great. I think absolutely great. Why would you not put him against Brock Lesnar?
Because Steve Austin wants to walk when he's 60.
I was going to say, because Brock will kill him. Roman can work a slow. He works a slower style now, which could work with Austin's current status.
And let's
face Brock it, would throw his ass around.
Let's face it, both Kevin Owens and oh shit, come on, brain work. Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns could be trusted to protect Austin.
You know, we were talking earlier about Steve Austin coming back from, you know, a neck injury. I don't want to see him with a guy whose primary move is throwing guys over his head onto their neck and shoulders, because that would be a very short-lived return.
Yeah, no, Stone Cold versus Lesnar? Absolutely not. I would, as much as I may have wanted to see that match years and years ago, I really would not want to see that match today. I'm not gonna say Brock Lesnar is careless or dangerous, but compared to most of the guys on that roster, he works fucking stiff. And this is not me watching a Lesnar match and thinking he works stiff. This is me knowing people who have wrestled him and talked about it. So, yeah, no, he works very stiff. And, like, Brock was in Japan for a while.
Yeah, he was.
Japan is infamous, notorious, famous for strong style wrestling. You've heard that phrase. There are some people listening who might not know what that is, Rock.
Okay. Explain it to them, Tim.
Strong style is very – it's working really, really stiff. It's not just moves – that look good, but it's moves that hurt, like for real. It's as close as you can get to what call it amateur wrestling or Olympic wrestling, depending on like what you want to call it, with elements of MMA thrown in. It's as close to a real fight as you can get and still be scripted.
It's like there's a king of strong style that people may be familiar with.
There is?
Yeah, it's the guy you always want to draft.
No way!
The one whose spinning knee looks like it's literally going to take your head off, because it almost does.
Who would that be, Brent?
That would be one Mr. Former IC Champion, Nakamura.
It's like the one thing we've bitched about ever since Shinsuke came to the WWE is that he has not wrestled what we are used to seeing, those of us who has seen what he's able to do in, you know, like in Japan, the way he wrestled in Japan. If you ever get the chance and you haven't, seriously, YouTube some of his matches. They'll be up there. And just watch it. Just, you know, pure Risu. You'll understand why I keep wanting to draft him, right?
Oh, I know why you want to draft him. He's almost always on my team already, so.
Yeah, you're a prick about that. But anyway.
I'm just smart and get him ahead of time.
I think maybe next fantasy we should incorporate trades.
No. Just get good.
Yeah, tell me that after the season's over, because if it keeps going the way it's going, I'm winning in a walk-off.
Talk to your partner about that one. Anyway.
Yeah, well,
my partner's doing just fine, I guess.
No. Anyway. That we'll see what happens with Steve Austin here in the next few weeks, if it actually is true that he's coming back to wrestle a match. But with that, I say we get into some all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
The search for the all-time greatest babyface continues. Terry Funk battles the Road Warriors. Brent.
I'm going to have to go with the Road Warriors on this. Funker is, you know, he has babyface moments when he's paired up against Flair, when he's going against Dusty. He's more of a heel there. But when he's, you know, in ECW, winning the world title at 50-plus years old. Yeah, he's a babyface, but at the same time, you know, engaging in death matches in, I can't remember where, but he's, you know, in the exploding barbed wire death matches. And I don't know. It's just one of those things, like when I think Funk, I don't necessarily think full babyface. But when you think the Road Warriors.
Didn't he do some of those death matches in, like, what, TZW or something?
No.
It's like FML? Whatever the Onada.
Fuck my life wrestling.
Yeah.
FMW. FMW.
Thank you. There was a dark side of the ring.
God. Whatever. FML.
Well, when you're in some of those death matches, you feel that way. But it's,
when you're fighting Terry Funk, you definitely feel that way.
But to me, it's like when the Road Warriors.
Thanks, man.
There we go. When the Road Warriors music hit and they came out either on their bikes or with the shoulder pads, with the spikes on them, like, people lost their shit. Legitimately, roofs were coming off of building with those pops. There's a reason why it's called the Road Warrior Pop. So for me, I've got to go with the Road Warriors on it just because, yeah, they even when they were acting kind of heelish, they were still hella over with the fans.
Tim?
What a rush.
That's all you're going to say?
Well, you know, Brent basically said most of everything that could be said about Terry Funk. When he gets the cheers, it's because he's been around that long and people appreciate the fact that a broken down old man is literally trying to kill himself in front of you. And the Road Warriors, you know, their babyface run was Roof Raiser. Terry Funk's one of those guys that I put into that separate category, like all the other wrestlers we talked about earlier on this.
Okay.
He's in that transcendent category.
Okay. Road Warriors. I didn't know about Terry Funk until he was feuding with Mick against the Outlaws, so I didn't have a lot of exposure. Plus, I loved LOD as a kid. Casey.
So he doesn't know Funk from, like, AWA, NW... Okay.
Roadhouse.
Texas.
Patrick Swayze.
All right. Up next, America's Most Wanted takes on Hangman. Adam Page.
This is kind of the same thing.
All right, Brent, go.
God damn it.
We find the defendants guilty.
Okay, so we have Cowboy James Storm versus Dollar General Cowboy James Storm. Oh. It just so happens that one of them drinks with the cowboy hat on and prefers beer, and the other one is the big dick cowboy who wants whiskey.
Don't forget about, Wildcat Chris Harris. You can't leave him out.
Who?
Knock, knock.
Oh, Brain Walker, with his 3-DVD set.
Inside joke.
That's still the greatest YouTube video ever.
Yeah, instead of using Dollar General, maybe you should use Dollar Tree. That's a little more international.
But the cowboy theme is a general.
Yeah, I know.
Drunken cowboy theme there. But it's just like, I don't know. Again, America's Most Wanted. I feel like they were more tweeners and heels when they were really good. I mean, they had face moments, yes. But to me, it's like, I remember AMW and Beer Money more more or less, from, like, the death of 3D when they were at the funeral and James Storm is, like, pissing on the coffin. Paige has been, like, the sympathetic baby face, but, and I'm going to show my limited knowledge here, I did not follow him in Ring of Honor and New Japan, so I don't necessarily know the whole, like, you know, he got in trouble for the clothes he wore or didn't wear, and yeah, there's the Hangman joke. But, I mean, AEW basically was he was essentially supposed to be the first major creation for AEW. And I'll give them credit, the fans are behind him, because every time he comes out, people lose their shit.
Their cowboy shit.
They're cowboy. God damn you, Rock. But not like, he's over for some reason. People love him. And so, at least in that respect, I'll give him the nod for babyface, because, like I said, Most Wanted, I don't think of them generally as babyfaces in that respect.
Tim?
I got to give the edge to Paige. And it's kind of sort of a lot of the reasons Brent just gave. America's Most Wanted, really, what kind of babyface pop have they ever gotten compared to Adam Page, right? Mm-hmm. This is, you know, this is just the way I'm looking at it. America's Most Wanted, better as heels, better as the borderline tweeners, leaning towards heel. That's my peak.
Great redemption story and build to his title win.
Cowboy shit.
All right. Bushwhackers and Hulk Hogan. Tim.
Oh, ultimately, as much as I hate having to pick him, it's Hogan.
Would you say Hulkamania was undeniable?
It was absolutely massively huge. It was the biggest fucking thing going at its height. Hulk Hogan is one of the main reasons or main pushes, if you will, for pro wrestling going mainstream.
Brent?
So the Bushwhackers were over with the fans because they had the hand gestures. They were the goofy, you know, comedy tag team, the, you know, the sheep herders or whatever.
With their typical Australian humor.
New Zealand.
Built into every match. Well, you know, down under humor.
Don't call them Australians. They will kick your ass for it.
It's the same sense of humor. Australia or New Zealand. It's the same type of humor. That's like, the one thing they share.
But it's like, you know, the Bushwhackers, like, notable moments for them. I believe it was Luke getting immediately tossed out of the Royal Rumble. The fact that they were on the Doink team for one of the Survivor Series and had the god-awful face paint, and people just loved that shit. So it's like the fans enjoyed the Bushwhackers. Hulk Hogan was a babyface icon. The whole Hulkamania, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, you know.
Having the biggest pop moment in the history of all WrestleManias.
Slamming Andre, even though Andre helped him out. But it's like even the, you know, taking on Randy Savage at WrestleMania 5, facing Ultimate Warrior at 6, and yet the fans still loved both guys. The double turn with The Rock at WrestleMania. He was in the NW fucking O, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, and yet somehow was able to go from heel to face in one match with The Rock.
And it was The Rock that called an audible on the finish of that match, too.
But it's still just like, in general, you know, Hulk Hogan is the quintessential babyface when he was the babyface, which is why it was so good when he turned. That's why fans were throwing shit into the ring, because they couldn't believe he joined those two assholes. So yes, the Hulkster is going to beat down the Bushwhackers.
I would try to have just to agree and say the phrase, Hulkamania was undeniable, because that's what Casey said, but Tim went on. Anyway, Bruno Sammartino, Johnny Gargano, Tim.
Did you read what Gaethje sent in? That's all he said was Hulk Hogan was
Hulkamania was undeniable.
That was all he said about it.
That's all he said.
Okay, fair enough.
I was trying to get you to agree so you would...
Brother.
Yeah, well, I have a hard time just following along with your shit because of some of the stuff you pulled in the past. So that's on you.
Or is it on you?
Yeah, it is.
Anyway,
are you sure it is?
Bruno, Johnny, go. Tim.
I'm going with the legend, Bruno.
Okay. No explanation needed, I guess. Friend?
This one for me is hard because I didn't really see Bruno. The most I have experienced Bruno with was like as a semi-commentator.
Well, and how did you like him as a commentator? Semi.
Not that great.
So, as a commentator, he never gave you a semi.
No. No commentator has ever given me a semi, Tim.
Sonny.
No.
Becky.
That's like spot commentary, and
it still counts. It's
not the commentary that does it.
It still counts. And that's where you say, just say no comment.
So, like I said, I can't really talk about Bruno just because I didn't really get to experience Bruno wrestling. I mean, I know that there's the quintessential angle with like him and Larry Zbyszko, where he turned on the mentor, but I didn't really get to see it or experience it. I've only seen like clips of it. Johnny as a face is the heart and soul of NXT 1.0. You had other people kind of come through there, but Johnny embodied everything, and there's a reason why he's Johnny Takeover. Not just because he had great matches, but because everything that Takeover was, the excitement, the passion for the sport, is what that entity was itself. And so just in that respect, I mean, honor to Bruno for being, you know, long-running champion and a legend. I'm not trying to take anything away. I just can't speak to him as a babyface, so I have to go with Johnny.
Well, in 25 years, more people are going to remember Bruno than they will Johnny.
The face of an era never turned heel. Gargano might have won over anyone else. Bruno.
And I have no qualms. I just had to speak my piece.
And that's the debate for the night, and that's our show.
That is what we're talking about tonight. There's a programming note, Brock.
There is. There's no WTR next week.
That's right. We're taking the night off because there's a thing.
There's a pay-per-view.
That's a thing.
Yeah. Me and Brent are watching a pay-per-view next week.
Yeah, so we're going to take next Sunday off. Watch the pay-per-view, people, if you can get it. It's AEW, isn't it?
AEW Revolution. We will have a review of it probably Monday, then the Monday after, following the Raw Post Show, which airs every Monday at 11 p.m. Eastern.
I was just about to do that, but you did, so go ahead.
That was the tie-in. I plugged it.
Oh, I see you already did. Oh, yeah? Well, why don't you do something on Thursday?
It's called The Rack, live. Thursday night, it's 10 p.m. Eastern.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have the new Xbox console? What is that one called?
The Xbox Series X? Yes.
You got that one?
Yeah.
You should play video games on it and stream it on Twitch.
We do. It's 1 hour with friends on Saturdays.
There you go. Oh, speaking about Saturdays, what else happens?
CB Radio. Midnight-ish.
Really?
CBRadioLive.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com. Speaking of video game stuff, there's going to be a lot more video game stuff on the Twitch channel, too, coming up soon.
Oh, cool. And, of course, like I said, we're not on next week, but we'll be back the week after, most likely.
Yeah, we already have two topics planned, so we're already ahead of the thing.
We're actually ahead of the game. We might have 2.5, potentially 3 topics, but that's a different story. That being said, the WTR, Wrestle Talk Radio, Wild Talk Radio, we're all over social media.
It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. And we're against WTR Sunday Night on both Facebook and Twitter.
And speaking about Facebook, you can find me there at Flamesforge. And I tweet about whatever the fuck I want.
So you can see Tim's tweets on his Facebook at Flamesforge. So that's what you said.
No, on Twitter.
You said Facebook.
Well, I was looking at Facebook, but I meant Twitter.
Okay.
Pay attention to what I mean. Figure out what I mean, not what I'm saying.
Brent?
Yes?
Tell me about your MySpace.
I have an Angel Fire page. If you guys want to be able to go and listen to middies there, oh wait, I forgot to that page, but you can't find me
Angel
on Twitter.
Fire. Wait a minute. Angel Fire. What was the other one?
GeoCities.
That's it. GeoCities. I've been meaning to look into that.
Keep going, Tim. Maybe you might be able to find one there. I'm not sure which GeoCity is left, but you might be able to find one.
I don't know. I just know it's not on MSN. But you were saying.
You can find me on Twitter, though, at King Kittens. And sometimes I have things to say when shows are on, and sometimes I try to not say anything for sake of my own sanity.
Wow.
There you go. Check out Lindsay on Twitch Monday through Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern as she streams Genshin Impact. You can find all of the stream VODs on YouTube. Just search Lindsay Ward or go to lindsayward.rockradioshow.com. Use credit code RocketSock or Lindsay Ward in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store because hashtag Epic Partner.
That's it. We're done. We're out of here. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. It starts tomorrow.
WildTalkRadio.com.